Now, butterfly wings aren't the only places where scholars are finding hidden meaning. Jay Kennedy, a professor of classics at the University of Manchester in England, believes he's discovered a secret code in the writings of Plato, a code that, had it been discovered in its day, could have led to Plato's execution.
In ancient Greece, there was a well-known 12-note scale. And what I found is, if you imagine Plato's books are a long papyrus scroll, if you lay that out on the floor, and then look at the discussions of music and say, just paint those blue so you can see stripes. Then you step back, you'll notice that the stripes you've painted, those blue splotches, form a regular pattern. At 1/12, 2/12, 3/12, you'll see passages discussing music. And the regularity of that pattern was supposed to be noticed by Plato's readers.
So Plato basically inserted discussions on music at specific points, deliberately.
Yes, that's exactly right. Plato, secretly a Pythagorean and thinking mathematics and music was the key to the universe, he used that simple technology of line counting to give his literary works a musical mathematical structure.
You say Pythagorean because Pythagoras believed that there was a connection between music and mathematics.
Yes, that was a fundamental discovery. Some people say that's the birth of Western science. The Pythagoreans realized that when we hear beauty in music, when we hear notes harmonizing, that's because the notes have simple ratios like 1 to 2 or 3 to 4. So the beauty of music is direct perception of the mathematical order underlying the world. They worshipped that mathematics.
Why would Plato try to hide this?
Very good reasons for that. The followers of Pythagoras were a persecuted sect, sometimes violently persecuted. They were a threat to traditional religion like many new sects. Plato's own teacher was executed because of his religious heresy.
Socrates, obviously.
That's Socrates. Simply put, they were threatening to overthrow the gods on Olympus and put numbers and mathematics in its place. Prior to Socrates being executed, a number of other philosophers were banished or fled because of threats to themselves. It was dangerous in those days to be a philosopher.
Jay Kennedy, we have a recording of what I've been told is an example of that Pythagorean 12-note scale, what it might have sounded like. Let me just play some of it for you. So could you make music like this just by reading and decoding Plato?
As far as I can tell, the works contain a musical scale, the way we say do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. I haven't done it yet, but perhaps some scholar will find that, in the Republic at least, that there is something like a melody or a score embedded in the text.
Plato is the sort of the bedrock of a philosophical and legal education in much of the Western world.
Yes.
How does this change the way, you know, we should be reading and thinking about Plato?
If my work is correct, as I believe it is, up till now we've only had half of Plato. There are all these hidden layers of meaning which will enrich our understanding of Plato.
What are some of the things you think we might find out?
Plato's philosophy shows us one way to combine science and religion. The culture wars we're having today about evolution, for example, see science and religion as two polarized opposites. Plato's hidden philosophy shows us that he combined emphasis upon mathematics with an emphasis upon beauty, music, art, and divinity. The founder of Western culture, in fact, wanted us to combine science and religion.
That's Jay Kennedy. He's a classic scholar at the University of Manchester in Britain. His paper on the secret Platonic code can be found in the journal Apeiron. Jay Kennedy, thanks.
Thank you.
For at least 2 years now, top intelligence officials have insisted that Al-Qaeda's strength has been severely degraded. And yet an internet posting earlier this week may suggest the group is trying to taunt those very same officials. A few pages of a flashy new English-language magazine appeared online. It's called Inspire, and it claims to be the product of Al-Qaeda, with such headlines as, "Make a bomb in the kitchen of your mom." And it features the work of contributing writers like Anwar al-Awlaki and Osama bin Laden. If it's authentic, it would be the most sophisticated attempt by al-Qaeda to reach English-speaking audiences. Juan Zarate has seen it. He served as Deputy National Security Advisor under President George W. Bush, and he's now with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Juan Zarate, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A few pages of this magazine were posted on the internet. Firstly, do you think that it's authentic? I mean, do you think this is an al-Qaeda product?
I think it actually is, and I think it demonstrates al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, the al-Qaeda brand in Yemen, their attempt to actually consolidate their presence online with a Western publication. Whether or not it ultimately proves to be dangerous is an altogether different question, but I think people think it is coming from al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and likely Anwar al-Awlaki, the American Yemeni cleric.
I want to ask you about him in a moment, but first, one of the bylines on the cover, in addition to al-Awlaki, is Osama bin Laden. We don't know if he penned a piece for the magazine. Do you think that bin Laden would even be aware of this publication?
Yeah, the ties between the al-Qaeda branch in Yemen and the al-Qaeda core in the Afghan-Pak border region is actually pretty close. I mean, the people who are running the group in Yemen have long-standing ties to al-Qaeda. I doubt highly that bin Laden sat down to pen something original for this inaugural edition. But, you know, he is certainly aware of what's happening with the movement and certainly aware that he needs to be a voice in it. Interestingly, though, this doesn't come from the al-Qaeda core, the Asahab media arm. This comes from al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which I think may be the most significant dimension of this.
Yeah, I want to ask you that because it was printed, allegedly printed by the Yemen branch of al-Qaeda, where, of course, the American-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki lives. He is believed to be on a U.S. government target list for death. What does it say about his ascendancy in al-Qaeda?
Government officials have clearly now stated from CIA director on down that Anwar al-Awlaki has moved from the mere firebrand to a more of an operational role. Again, one of the interesting things about this publication is it's yet another extension of his attempts to reach Western audiences more broadly.
He's been making online videos for a few years now.
Yeah, no, he's been online. He's been effective in many ways to convert the narrative of radical violent Islamic jihad into, you know, Westernese.
For English speakers.
For English speakers.
Muslim and non-Muslim alike.
Exactly. And in fact, his latest video before this journal has come out was directed to American Muslims, telling American Muslims that they needed to take off the shackles of living here under this government. And so clearly he's trying to foment a sense of division, a sense of this narrative gaining momentum in the West and in particular in the United States. I think what they're hoping with this particular journal is to build on that message, to build on the momentum, and to cast the net very widely to try to attract as many people to take up the violent cause and to commit some act of violence in the U.S. or in the West.
That's Juan Zarate, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Bush administration, and now a senior advisor with the Center for Strategic and International Studies, speaking about the alleged al-Qaeda glossy magazine that appeared online this past week. Juan Zarate, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.